The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kubale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Happy Aloha Friday. Woo! Happy post University of Hawaii volleyball win day. Big game tonight, though. Pack the Stan. I hope to see all of you guys, all of you beautiful people, tonight at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center for the semifinal match between UC Irvine and the Rainbow Warriors, of course. But last night was quite fun. Hawaii started off a little, I don't even know what the right word is for sloppy. This. Yeah, I guess sloppy would be a good, like everything was just off. So we'll get to hearing from what Charlie Wade and a couple of players had to say in just a little bit. Also coming up on the show, you'll hear a snippet of our chat with UH volleyball legend Kostas Theoharides, as he just released a book. It's out available at Amazon, so we'll tell you about that coming out on the show. And we'll get to some NBA, of course, because Mr. Paul Brecht is going to be... Actually, it'll be Paul and Zor that'll be snippy at each other on the Twitter. As
your, I don't even know your if two I'll teams. Have enough.
I'll You'll like, just be like so emotionally invested and drained.
I don't know if I can go game. On Twitter. Like, it'll be That's one of true. Those things where it's like, it's going to send me into another realm if I go on to Twitter. Because, I might set up some sort of camera just so that we can have some social media snippet for the beautiful people. Just so I have proof of how insane I am.
Hey, people love those reaction videos.
That's
so
kind of what I mean.
Say you should.
Like, especially if something crazy happens, which something always happens with the Knicks, it feels like where... They like to stress me out, even when they win.
I was like, hold that thought. I know that's why we're going
to
save the second half
we'll
of the show for the NBA playoffs as we are winding out the play-in tournament games and are going to get into the action with all of our teams here at Team HSRN. Well... Oh, yeah. All of our teams are in it. I was like, wait, yeah, the Lakers are in it.
I had been waiting to see how the play-in shakes out. So,
it'll be fun. All right. But getting back to University of Hawaii men's volleyball, beating UC Santa Barbara yesterday in 4, 25-23, 20-25, 17-25, and 23-25 in favor of the Bows. But, yeah, that first set was just, well, like,
sloppy for both teams.
I don't
teams.
Think we've ever seen Hawaii play that bad and that awful. And I think that's a fair thing to say. It, you know, you guys listen to the show all the time. It's really difficult for us to talk poorly about the home team. But when it comes to men's volleyball, like the expectation is really, really high, as it should be, because they have been one of our most consistently good teams for a number of years now, and we're used to the quality of volleyball. So watching that first set last night, I was completely flabbergasted. Like, timing was off. I mean, just the set jumps were off, and like not the split second off that men's volleyball, the speed of play is just so fast that any type of second can look off. It was just insane. And I kept telling my other half last night, I'm like, we are so lucky right now. And throughout the entire match, that UC Santa Barbara just could not serve it in bounds because
they struggled.
28
all night.
Service errors for the Gauchos. I mean, Hawaii didn't exactly do entirely great, but still better than them. 20 errors and 13 attack errors, but UCSB 22 attack errors. So again, both teams were sloppy, but our expectation for the Rainbow Warriors that first set was just crazy to watch. But fortunately, they got their bearings. Chaz Galloway did not start, but coming off the bench, you heard the crowd erupt when he checked in, and he brought that synergy back and the calmness, being that he is one of the veterans with the postseason experience for all of these years. And it was good to see them settle down for the rest of the way, and that's how they ended up ultimately coming out with the win, but whew, that first set was rough.
The reason we say that it was so rough as well is just more so you look at it and you mention the service errors, especially for UC Santa Barbara. 10 service errors alone in that opening set that the Bows lost. I want to emphasize that the Bows, the set that they lost, their opponent gave them 10 free mm-hmm. points on 10 service errors. And you'll hear Charlie Wade talk about it post-game. In his opening comments, he talks about it was not always pretty throughout the night, but it doesn't always have to be pretty. It just has to be a win, and they were very thankful to escape with a win in four sets and set up the fourth matchup against UC Irvine this season here tonight.
And they definitely can't come out tonight the way, or not even come out, but just the way that they played last night. They cannot do that against a very strong UC Irvine team. But before we get into tonight's matchup, here is what head coach Charlie Wade, Alika Itad, and Chaz Galloway had to say following last night's match.
Coach, if you would please just start us off with your thoughts on tonight's match.
Yeah, thrilled to get the win. It wasn't too pretty all the time out there, but two teams that were really fighting hard. You know, we got off to a bit of a slow start, hard to get in a little bit of offensive rhythm. I think they missed 10 serves at the first set, so we could never really get some rhythm going. And super proud of Chaz coming off the bench. He really giving us a lift and playing well. He got the ace at the end and some really nice blocks. Obviously, that's a team that back sets a lot, and thought he did a really good job of slowing him down. And thrilled to get the win in advance.
Charlie, first thing you mentioned Chaz, but how much of it was his experience of being in this moment that helped him do what he did as far as helping his team?
Well, something that we've said for a while now that, you know, and I was really impressed just putting him out there and just watching him go about his business, right? Very calm, very like saying very relevant, specific things to people. It really was impressive to see him out there. You know, he's played in so many of these matches in front of crowds like this, and certainly a lot bigger, that he was kind of in his happy place and played really well.
Chaz, your comment on that as far as how comfortable you felt out there, understanding the situation where backs against the wall, this could be the last time you ever play on this Terraflex, and being thrown out there in the second set.
Yeah, no, I felt pretty comfortable out there, and going on the court, I was just trying to do everything I could to help the guys that didn't have that experience and giving them, you know, words of encouragement or what I'm seeing from the sidelines just to help them, because it's a different perspective when you're on the bench to, you know, watch the game. And I felt like getting in the game, I was able to, you know, help the guys out on the court with that.
For the players, just kind of talk about the environment tonight. Obviously, this isn't the first time that you guys have hosted a Big West tournament, but just talk about how that kind of aided you guys, you know, when those kind of slumps in the match when, just kind of talk about the crowd tonight.
I think the crowd, well, first off, I want to thank all the fans who came out tonight, and then all the future fans who are going to come out tomorrow. I want to thank them as well, because they're a huge part of how we get out of these funks and how we play well, you know? Just having their support and hearing them, all the aunties and uncles you see in the crowd, it's a big deal here.
Charlie, if you can kind of comment on that as well.
Well, you know, I remember a few years ago with Kanaya kind of quoting me on how we not only win for the fans, but we win because of them. And tonight was a classic example where it's, you know, when we talked about it earlier in the week, you could tell that the practice was a little better. There clearly is some mana for all of us when we walk out there and play. And when you fill it up with the fans, it really is powerful. There's no question. It is the wind in our sails, and just really is an awesome thing to experience. We're really humbled by the kind of support we get. You know, I see the governor there tonight sitting with the president, and, you know, he was a big part of stepping up and appropriating the funding to allow, giving the money to HTA to allow this to happen, to sponsor the tournament. So just super appreciative to all the stakeholders, our hotels, you know, Hawaii Tourism Authority, everybody that steps up and brings this kind of event to our community. And, you know, I know the guys, you know, we talk about it, they take a lot of pride in having that kind of support from the community. And going to give it our all every time we can.
Charlie, can you talk about Kurtz mapped up from the very beginning, but can you just talk about what kind of impact do you think he had specifically on the game tonight for you guys?
Kurt was amped up.
Yeah, he was to another level, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've the lineup that we started with, we've kind of spun it a little bit and get Yoni back there to serve first, and Kurt gets really excited about starting up in the front row. You know, the connection with him and Tred has gotten better, certainly as the year gone on, and you know, those two spend time on and off the court together, and you see them like hanging around after practice. We're kind of shortening practice this time of year a lot, and they stick around and get lots of extra reps, and you see the result of it. The connection with them right now is it's pretty good.
Coach, you're following the matchup with Irvine tomorrow, seeing you see for the fourth time, and when you saw him here earlier this year, it was kind of a pivotal moment in your season.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it will be the fourth time that we've played them, and fortunate right now to have a 2-1 advantage on them and beat them at their place last time out. Obviously, super talented team. I mean, those pins are as physical as any team, more than any team in the country, and it'll be loaded. It does come down kind of like tonight. They got one big time left-handed guy. They set a ton, and it'll be a load for sure.
And that was clip of the post-match media availability.
Yeah,
what
tongue.
The heck? I was already like, what am I talking about here? Thinking I'm getting excited about tonight, but that was the post-match with head coach Charlie Wade, Alika Itad, and Chaz Galloway. And yeah, that crowd last night was awesome. Just over 5,000, but it was loud. Oh, also, okay, we talked about Hawaii didn't do themselves any favors with the way they played to start off the game. UCSB helped us out a little bit. But can we just take a moment to rant about the officials last night?
Oh, my God.
I tweeted about it. I was like,
I retweeted your tweet.
Yeah, I was like, wow. It's like we have the same refs that were at the reffing Hawaii women's basketball games this season, because I was like, what? There was even one I made eye contact with Charlie because I sit right behind them, and it was, I don't know if it was a kill or
flex right there, by the way. just yeah, you know, me and Charlie made eye contact real quick. No big deal.
It was one of the, I think it was a kill. It wasn't a service ace, but, and it went like, you know, they called it out, and then we were looking up at the screen, and at the perfect time, I was like, it's it. And I looked at Charlie, I'm like, it's in. And yelled, I'm like, but so many calls like that. It was in. Insane. And I get it. The pace of play is very, very fast. But then they have like two line judges
on
each side.
Say, they had, I think, five, maybe six officials, it felt like, all because they had, you're right, they have the one at the back of each team's side. You have the tower official. You have the assistant on the other side there. And then I think you're right. They had at least one other official there. And it wouldn't surprise me if they had two on, you know, one on each side. And it really was poor. I should, you know, hand up, my fault, guys. I should have been taking down the amount of challenges throughout the night. And not even every play that could have been challenged was challenged. And I feel bad because I don't know the rules of volleyball inside and out the way I do about basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I can tell calls are wrong or at least very questionable, that's when I'm like, dog. We need to do better. I even referenced it in the recap that's up on our website, hawaiisportsradio.com. You can check it out along with our Michael Lascaro's full gallery of photos from last night's game. I also tweeted it out in case you just want to go to social media to find it. But I reference it in the recap where the crowd made sure the officials knew their displeasure on multiple occasions. Especially, there's one that was called an overreach on Alika Itad late in the match that just sent everyone into a confusion. It turned everyone in the media section around, kind of looking like, what was that call? What are they saying? It was too many of those occasions throughout the night where, you're right, we had some, you know, Rainbow Wahine officials from basketball season moonlighting as volleyball officials.
But that is right what it felt like. It was insane. And I don't want to like totally harp on it too much, but I just had to make note of that, because if anybody was watching the game, it was It was bad. And but also that brings me to what Paul had said during that interview that was playing. And then also what Charlie had said is that it was hard to get into a rhythm because it was all the play was just always being stopped with all of the errors, with all of the challenges. So for Hawaii not being able to get in that rhythm, because that's what it felt like. It felt like we went through a stretch where we didn't see a kill for like a few rotations. And it was just one of those games that you would kind of give to the reasoning. I mean, some stuff they didn't do themselves any favors, but the proof is in the pudding that, yeah, they just couldn't get themselves going and get the momentum going, get the fans going, where the fans were yelling for most parts at the officials and not necessarily cheering on the Rainbow Warriors. But it was weird. Yeah.
It was definitely a weird vibe throughout the night, but overall, still really, really fun. Just under 6,000, I think, made it in. Over 6,000 tickets issued. I think 5,900, a little bit over, is what ended up making it in last night. And I know the players are hoping that that number grows even larger tonight going into a massive, massive matchup with UC Irvine, which last night I talked to a few different volleyball people, and all of them kind of agreed Hawaii was playing for their NCAA tournament lives last night, where an at-large bid, at the very least, you know, should they be unable to win the Big West tournament. They needed a win last night. I would venture to say it might not be the exact case, but pretty darn close tonight against the Anteaters as well.
Ooh, it's going to be crazy, but we got to step aside, so we'll give you more of the information that you need to know going into tonight's match. Take a look at this matchup, as it's going to be wild, folks, and it is going to be fun at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. We can anticipate, I would hope, around at least 8,000 fans in attendance, so we hope to see you guys there, but we do need to take a break, so we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den, Kukule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, just got just a few minutes, so we'll just close out our men's volleyball chat. Kind of, because we will still have you hear from Kostas Theokharidis in the next segment. But UC Irvine, woo, the foe in men's volleyball. This season might be more than Long Beach, I must say. But either way, it's going to be a huge match. UC Irvine getting the 2 seed and Hawaii facing the Anteaters in front of what we hope to be a crowd of at least 8,000 people. Keys to the match? Slow down, Heno. It's kind of like, it's one of those things. Heno and, you know, former Bo Brett Sheward he's a really good setter for them. And sometimes they play with like 2 setters. So they're a really solid team. They're well coached. Hawaii is going to have their hands full with the Anteaters, but they've proven that they can beat them with and without Spiros Hakas. And to take us back down memory lane, that's kind of tugging at the heartstrings of, it was that match against UC Irvine where we saw Spiros go down with that season-ending injury. And then when they played UC Irvine on the road, it split that series. And the first one, 3-1, where when you take a look at the stats, that 5-setter when they played them first, Heno had 36 kills. And we somehow pulled that out. But again, that was with Spiros Hakas that we were able to pull that match out the first time around in 5. And then the game where Hawaii got swept by the Anteaters, Heno had 20 kills, by far like their leading attacker for UC Irvine. And the game in which Hawaii won in 4, they held him to just 13 kills, Tyler Heno. So it kind of is, yeah. Ooh, I mean, I'm saying it like it's easy, but definitely...
Just do it, guys.
Yeah, he's definitely the key.
He's the guy that you heard Charlie Wade reference towards the end of his media availability last night, where very similar to UC Santa Barbara, a left-handed hitter that gets set a ton, I mean a ton, by UC Irvine and is productive as all get-out, is a guy who will get some consideration for National Player of the Year, I'm sure, come to the end of the season, and was first team All Big West, as good as they come. And I mean, this UC Irvine team is, I believe, the only team to beat Long Beach State during the Big West regular season. So they've shown that they can be the class of the conference as well, not a team that you can take lightly. Hawaii does have a 2-1 lead in those three matches that they've faced off against each other, but in 12 total sets that they've played, they're tied 6-6. So it's going to be interesting. A five-set win, for the Bows. Well, 2 5-set wins, I guess, for the Bows, and a 4-set loss. It's, man, I'm excited for tonight.
It's going to be wild. But, yeah, we need you guys out there for sure. Match time scheduled for 7 o'clock p.m. Obviously, it depends on how the game before it goes between CSUN and Long Beach State as well. But 7 o'clock p.m. is the scheduled time where we'll start no earlier than that. So get there early regardless, because we are expecting a full house tonight. Also, if you guys saw on our social media, this is why you should follow us on social media at High Sports Radio, because we get you some pretty good inside information. The pretty cool cards that were released yesterday, the trading cards for the University of Hawaii men's volleyball team. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can head to our social media. It is awesome. So there's, in total, there are 4,500 packs out across the island. And each pack consists of 14 cards. I believe they retail for $13 at the H Zone and the UH bookstore. That's the only place that you can get them on campus. And then you can also get them at select Texaco's around the island. If you want to know for sure which Texaco's, go to Island Energy Services, and it's those Texaco's that it'll be available at. And we'll put more information on our website as well, so that you can go to hawaiisportsradio.com. But they sold out. There were only 400 packs on campus, so split between the bookstore and H Zone. And the H Zone one in the Simplify Arena at San Sheriff Center, those packs were gone before the match started. So they actually ran some down from the bookstore. I think, I don't know how many, like 30-something packs they came down because the bookstore was closing, so they brought them back down to the arena, and those sold out. So they all sold out yesterday, but fear not. We got word that there are going to be 400 more packs that will be available on campus tonight. So get those. They have some pretty cool autograph cards that are available. The designs are phenomenal. And the best part, you guys, this is actually a collaboration and an NIL effort. So the men's volleyball team have gotten paid for this partnership with via Brander Group and On It Trading Cards, where this is really, and they're affordable for someone that you guys know loves the trading cards market. This is what trading cards should be priced, theoretically. Like, this is kind of, they're affordable. They're like just what comes out to less than $1 a card. They're really nice. And the players, you can approach them. You can have them. There are autograph cards, but they're not guaranteed in every pack. But you can go up to the players and get them to sign your card. Like, it's a phenomenal job that was done for these cards.
Yeah, you have a couple of people who really enjoy trading cards in here between Ku and I. And Ku, you like it a little bit more on the adult side of it than I do. I grew up collecting baseball cards. I had Pokemon cards, you know. So there are a whole variety of trading cards out there. And I do have to say, these are some of the coolest ones that I've been able to see. For that reason, they're super exclusive as well, if you think about it, because it's not like some mass-produced, you know, like the Topps baseball cards or anything like that. And the cool thing about the people here in Hawaii, or let me rephrase, the players here for Hawaii, is we see such high-level talent on display all the time that, who knows, some of these cards might actually, at the end of the day, become super, super valuable as well. And that's just on top of, if you just like to collect them in the first place, like you said, you can just get them. They're not guaranteed to be autographed. And there, I mean, how many autograph sessions have the men's volleyball team held this season, where you go and you have them sign something, get them to sign that card, and then that's a keepsake for the rest of your life. We have some local guys on the team who have been waiting their turn for a long, long time, who I know are fan favorites. They have cards there as well. Like, it is an awesome opportunity. And like you said, it's appropriately priced. It's, yeah. Who would ever see this coming?
Yeah. And like, every time I've told a few people, but every time I also tell them about the fact that the players are compensated for this, people want to buy more. They're like, oh, wow. Like, because they feel like they're directly supporting the players, which they are. So it's really cool because all of them have their photos and everyone has a card. So just real quick, and I apologize, it's not just available on Oahu. It's also available at one location on Maui. So it's Uptown Texaco, 2085 Main Street on Maui, and then one on Hawaii Island, Waiakea Texaco, 321 Maka'ala Street. So for all of our friends on those islands, you can go to those Texaco locations. And there are 17 participating sites on Oahu: Kailua, Kapolei, Kamokila, Aikahi, Moanalua, Mililani Stadium. Salt Lake. I was like, where's Stadium Texaco? Baratania, Kapiolani, Waikamilo, Kalihi Stream, School Street, Mapunapuna, Middle Street, and Keolu. So those are all that. We'll put the information on our website, but we got to take a quick break. When we come back, you'll hear a portion of our chat with Kostas Theoharides, talking about his new book that just came out and available on Amazon. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuralei Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside DJ Pauly B. I'm Kuralei Ogbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on Wake Up in the Den on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Don't forget, you guys can always text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. And before you hear a portion of our chat with UH men's volleyball legend Kostas Theoharides, we were talking about the trading cards before we went to break, and I just realized that they are also available online via the University of Hawaii Manoa bookstore site. And I just checked and they are there. So if you can't make it to the game tonight or can't stop by any of those Texaco locations, you can also pick it up. And if you don't live in Hawaii and you want to go and get one sent to you, you can go buy it at the via online. So just it's bookstore.hawaii.edu /Manoa. So, or just Google University of Hawaii bookstore and it'll be the first thing that pops up. So get it before they sell out. Get it while it's
hot.
Sell
out quick.
Yeah. If we saw how fast it sold out in person with barely any publicity, just social media, I mean, 400 packs gone like that yesterday.
I went to try and get a picture of it for you beautiful people so I could post it on my social media. I was there, like, actually, to be honest, earlier than I am most times for Hawaii men's volleyball matches. And even still, they were sold out already, taking them off display. And that was before the second match of yesterday had even begun. That was the quarterfinals. Tonight, we've talked about it a couple of times, expecting an even bigger number of Hawaii fans in the building. So, like Koo said, got to get them while they're hot. And tell you what, they are hot right now.
It's so hot right now. if you guys do go to the H zone in the arena, be sure they don't have them like out on display. So you just go to the counter and ask them about the trading cards, and they have them in back of the counter if they're still available. So if you don't see them or don't bother trying to look for them in the store itself, just go directly to the counter and ask for those cards before, yeah, they sell out. Anywho, gonna switch it up just a teeny bit as Paul and I had a chance to chat with UH volleyball legend Kostas Theoharides. He just released a book on Amazon, And we had quite the extensive conversation, a very good conversation. But we're only going to play just a snippet of you for you beautiful people, because we recorded it for our YouTube channel. So you'll be able to see the YouTube video tomorrow and get direct links as well to the book. But without further ado, this is just Kostas talking about the book itself.
Full circle moment to your book, and it kind of describes exactly the subheading, which is Thriving Within Chaos, but the official title, Kostas, Warrior for Life, and then the Thriving Within Chaos. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to think, hey, maybe I should write this book and share everything that I've been through and hopefully inspire many people, not only, you know, in your country, not only in this country, but all around the world. And give us a little bit of an idea of what fans can expect when they read this book.
Sure. So, you know, I struggled a little bit with the title. So I was trying to figure out something that would be a healthy reflection of who I am. And I came up with the title Warrior for Life, because it has a double meaning to it. Obviously, you have the UH Rainbow Warriors. So Warrior for Life essentially implies that you're part of the Brotherhood. You're a warrior for life. And then warriors, we're all warriors every day, fathers, husbands, trying to battle through the storms and the setbacks and the failures and trying to make it to the other end where you see the rainbow, right? Getting across that bridge of discomfort and pain and struggle and being successful. So that's the reason why I came up with the title. It has that double meaning. What triggered that book? I wanted to leave something tangible behind for my daughters. So I have three girls, 10, 9, and 4. And they're living through some prosperous times right now, you know, and I wanted to memorialize some of the things that me and my wife have gone through individually and also as a couple, that there were not always prosperous times, that, you know, hard times preceded where we are now, that we fought very hard. We fought a lot of battles to get to this point. And I was trying to help them understand and better what preceded where we are today and fully appreciate the history and gain a better perspective. The second thing was about being a source of inspiration for people. I want them to make them want to fly into the unknown, to reach for the stars. And I'm trying to get that, you know, you get through to them through the different stories that I have in the book. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of failures. There's going to be a lot of pain and struggle to get there. And you're never going to be finished. You're always going to be finding new goals and new targets and everything. But the whole point of this journey of life is to keep going, right? And never throw in the towel. And the third thing was to immortalize what the 2002 championship team has done. I know that the younger generations are more in tune with what's happening now. But 20 years ago, I believe that, you know, my teammates, my coaches were able to contribute significantly to that solid foundation that the UH Men's Volleyball Program keeps building upon, right? And I think it's something that I felt the need to do. And, you know, when everybody's gone from this earth, the majority of us will be forgotten. But I feel that that team should be remembered forever. It should be part of eternity. And I can sing. I can dance. I don't have a podcast. So for me, writing, I'm passionate about writing. So to reach out to a critical mass, I had to figure out how to do that. And it's through social media and writing a book. So the book was written with Hawaiian audience in mind. So somebody from the mainland that is not necessarily familiar with the UH Men's Volleyball Program and its history may not necessarily recognize some of the characters in the book and understand the stories or, you know, the whole NCAA controversy. So I took a risk that, you know, it's Hawaii specific. So I am relying on Ukulele and Paul and everybody else out there to spread the word I'm doing the best I can to get the word out there. A lot of the older generations are not necessarily using social media. So we're looking at print media, we're looking at radio, TV, to kind of get the word out there. It's a high quality product. I do encourage people to get a copy on Amazon. It's in paperback at the moment. And read the book, post a review, and because I don't have the marketing muscle of a traditional publisher. It's self-published. I wrote the book, and so I wrote the draft manuscript in 60 days. And I turned it over to my wife that has a writing background. And I told her, go ahead and tear it apart. And she did just that. So she gave me a lot of valuable feedback, which I incorporated. And I rewrote certain sections of the book. And I read it out loud to myself. And I start releasing some excerpts just to kind of get the reaction of the crowd on Instagram. And I was just blown away by the feedback that I got from my followers. And it felt it was the right time for me to wrap up that effort and just release it to the public. And it's, that book is a healthy reflection of who I am. And I'm fully transparent. I'm very authentic. I'm very vulnerable. You know, I think a lot of people don't want to go down the path of exposing themselves to the public. And you know what? I turned that on its head and I was like, I got really enthusiastic about sharing a lifetime of observations on and off the court with the people here in Hawaii. Trying to be a positive role model to the younger leaders and the younger athletes, as well as adults that they may be going through an identity crisis and they're trying to figure things out. You know, I did the best that I could. But if they, you know, it can die a very slow death and disappear into obscurity unless we get the word out. So I really appreciate you guys inviting me on your show today and, you know, contributing to that effort.
This guy, he's so hilarious. That was Kostas Theocharides joining us yesterday afternoon to chat about his book. Again, we will have the video version available on our YouTube a channel tomorrow, and then we have direct links posted on our Twitter. I'll post it up on our Instagram story, but it's very easy to just Google Kostas Theocharides' book and it'll be the first thing that pops up, only available at Amazon. He did actually want to do a signing this weekend, and he said he was going to bring a bunch of books, do a signing at the stand, but the Big West said it would be too distracting from the tournament itself. So he could potentially be back in May, he said, so that he could do an official book signing at UH, which would be really, really cool. And I encourage you guys to hear our full interview with him. It's about 30 minutes long. We'll also put it up as a podcast version as well, because he gets very emotional about what happened with that 2002 national championship game that got stripped away by the NCAA due to the fact that he, you know, haters gonna hate, and someone filed this official complaint with the NCAA and that he played with a professional team, which he did. He was never trying to hide that. But all of the rules that the NCAA had in place that would make you an amateur or a professional, he did not break any of those rules. He did not have an agent. He did not get any payments. He did not do any of those things. So it's still up in the air. Our Craig Angeles, athletics director at UH, is, from what we've been told, is still trying to work with seeing what we can do when it comes to getting that title back. But Kostas is still very emotional, and he talked to us about how just the people of Hawaii have been so, like, I think he takes that harder on himself than any of the fans. Like, no one, like, he feels so appreciative of the fact that the fans aren't mad at him and really never were. Once it all the facts came out and that it was entirely not his fault, like, there's nothing that we can be upset about. It's our anger would be at the NCAA for doing that. But when I really think about it as a young person, like, man, that must, like, you were at the pinnacle and you won the national championship, first national title for UH men's sports in general for at Manoa, and to that really must eat at you personally to feel like it's your fault that this happened, right? Like, because as a young person, those things go through your mind. He's very open about his struggles and depression of having to go through that amongst other things in his life, which that's why you can read about his book. But just what people are familiar with in the situation, it was, I had to hold it together. I was trying to, I was getting teary eyed. Luckily, he wasn't looking at me when he was telling us a lot of this stuff, because I was, and I couldn't see you fall through where we were sitting at the time. And I'm like, hold it together, Kool-Aid. Hold it together.
It was a really emotional conversation at certain points, and really appreciative to Kostas for both his time and for his vulnerability yesterday, because there were multiple moments where, you're right, he talks about the really heavy weight that it left on his shoulders and how long it kind of took him to come back. And he told us a story of how he returned back to Hawaii and how he kind of rekindled this relationship with Rainbow Warrior fans and the program. And it's just really, really cool to listen to and hear. His book is incredibly interesting, from that 2002 team to how he's dealt with life since. And I'm really excited to see how the book does going forward. I'll have it linked in the episode for this episode. Whatever. You know, you can click on the link in the description below this podcast episode, wherever you do get it afterwards. Just so that you can go to Amazon and purchase your own copy for when he comes back in May and you can get it signed.
Yeah, and my apologies, when I think about it more, we'll have the audio version of our full interview available later this morning, and then the YouTube will be available tomorrow. And a couple of things, because it's not mentioned in our interview, but stuff he told us, and I wish it came up during our recording, but it did not, that he really never had any connection with the program and with the state ever since he left. And it was Demetrius Mouklias who, after they won their second title, had sent Kostas a photo of himself, Demi did, with the trophy alongside a photo of Kostas and the national championship trophy back then. And he said, it was when they won it, when this newer class won the first one, not the second one, but the first one. But he sent those pictures to Kostas and said, we won a second national title, you know, meaning that, hey, you guys are still recognized as winning the first for men's volleyball and UH. And he didn't know him. They didn't know each other, but
that was the coolest part,
that they didn't know each other at all. But Demi reached out to him and sent him those photos. And that's when Kostas was like, I want to try to, and then he looked at, because he said he wasn't even keeping up with the team. He had no idea they had not one, but two Greek players, and he felt compelled to come back. And now, within the last year, he's said this is his third trip to Hawaii after being gone for 20 years. Third trip to Hawaii, he ran the marathon in December. I'm like,
he's doing all kinds of stuff.
So please go out and support him. Buy his book on Amazon, Kostas, Warrior for Life, Thriving Within Chaos. All right, gonna step aside. When we come back, we'll close it out and have Paul Brecht here just go on his Friday rant. Now, it's not really a rant yet, but we'll see what happens as we get ready for the NBA playoffs with all of our teams in action this weekend. We'll be right back to close it out on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
We're dancing this Friday morning away and going to dance the night away, hopefully, following a Rainbow Warrior win over the Anteaters. Tonight, Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. Hope you guys pack the stand for the semifinal match. Win and advance.
I'm stressed.
And season continues. And before we get to NBA, because I just want to make sure we give this thought.
This is
where
more important.
If Hawaii wins, no matter what happens tomorrow, win or lose, it's a good argument as to them, say if they were to lose, to getting the at-large bid. So they have to win today for potentially be able to continue into the NCAA tournament, because it's hard to keep, like, probably the most competitive men's volleyball conference. you can't argue with the two teams. Yeah, like you need two bids from this conference.
Go look at the standings. You have or had, I guess, the number one team in the nation. I think Long Beach might be down to number two now. I don't know that for a fact. Either way, you have Long Beach, who is a top two team in the nation, UC Irvine, who is a top four team in the nation, and Hawaii, who checks in at number five, I think. So three teams in the top five nationally. It's going to be tough to keep them out. A win tonight would, you're right, go a long way in securing that spot in another NCAA tournament championship, like bracket, whatever. And then from there, who knows? All you need is an invite to the dance, and then you can dance the night away, Co.
Woo, I love it. There we go. Win, that's the way I said we hope to be dancing the night away tonight following a win. Okay, closing it out with some NBA action, as this is so cool that like all of our teams from the HSRN team are in the playoffs. It's so crazy. I'm an Orlando Magic fan. Paul here is a New York Knicks fan. Michael Lescaro is an Indiana Pacers fan. We have Alan Mia, that's a Clippers fan. We have AC Custodio, that's a Lakers fan. Oh, I forgot to get Kyle's team. I thought it was Portland.
I was going to say, I would assume that it's the Trailblazers, and I wouldn't want to admit to that right now if I'm him.
We'll make him an honorary Phoenix fan.
I don't know.
Just because I'm like,
he's a baseball guy.
Yeah. All right. So the play-in tournament, last couple of games, win or go home between the Chicago Bulls and Miami Heat today at 1, and then the Kings and Pelicans at 3:30. But looking ahead at tomorrow, you got game 1 of the Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers nice and early. So depending on how tonight goes, I'll be like watching the game with like barely my eyes open. But nonetheless, when I saw the time come out, I'm like, darn it, why have to be such the early game? But it's okay. Paul here at least gets to sleep in before his Knicks play Zornets.
I will not be sleeping.
76ers. You have the floor, my friend.
I'm stressed, dude. I am stressed. It's, you want to talk about win or go home type of deal. It's funny because the Knicks have not really been favored in any series since they've been good again over this past like 4-year stretch, and now they're the number two seed in the conference. They go up against the 76ers team that, with Joel Embiid, has been 31-8 with him in the lineup. He was on pace to break the point per, I think, minute record. That's insane, being that Wilt Chamberlain had a 50-point-per-game season. And Joel Embiid, well on his way to another MVP award before he was injured this past year. He's back. I don't know if he's at 100%. It's going to be really, really interesting to see that. The Knicks, one of the most physical teams in the NBA, very much so mirror what Miami did as well. And we saw how difficult that game was for the 76ers, just pulling out a 1-point victory. And it's going to be a battle. I've heard a lot of Knicks in six. I've heard Knicks in seven. I've heard 76ers in six, 76ers in seven. I would believe any of those results if you told me them. My official take here on the show today, Knicks in four. No, kidding. Knicks in six is my take. The 76ers just, I don't think Embiid is healthy enough, and I think the Knicks are talented enough. Their defense is good enough. And Jalen Brunson has had such a magical season that it's just hard for me to see anything else at this point.
It's going to be a fun weekend of NBA playoff basketball. Season is finally here that we can have fun. But we got to go, so we'll see you tonight at the stand. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kukule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye!